Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, titled The Prince of the Power of the Air. This is part 2 of 2.
And every person who lives, who reaches that mental and spiritual self-awareness, their need, they know they're a sinner, and they need to be saved, they have to be quickened. And that's why it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. And we talked about that in the last message. And the first half of verse 2 then describes our condition. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. We talked about it. You're a dead man walking. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Sadly, many hearing this study will walk away and turn right around and walk according to the course of this world. They will refuse to be quickened by believing that gospel that we just shared. And then a lot of Christians, professing Christians, they say they're saved, and they'll listen to studies like this, and they'll still get up, and when they walk out of that door the next however long in between church services, they don't give God another thought. God's not in their thoughts. God's not in their music. God's not in their conversations. God's not in their programming they watch on television. God's not in the movies they go see. God's not anywhere to be found. They walk according to the course of this world. Sadly, that's just a fact. But what they are actually doing is, watch this, walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, it makes you sound crazy when you talk Bible. But when you walk according to this world, it's not some gray area. It's not some neutral area. You're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. You have stepped into his domain spiritually. You could stay right where you are now in a church meeting. But if you, in your mindset and your heart right now, if you're not receiving the Word of God, you are walking according to the prince of the power of the air. It's true about anybody at any time when you throw off the things of God. And the prince of the power of the air is who?
Satan.
Satan. Now what does that mean? Satan is the prince of this world. John 12:31, this is Jesus. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Amen.
Satan is the prince of this world. He's the prince and the power of the air. Now, this is another fact. Satanic powers exert great influence and power over human government. Now, I think we can all say amen to that.
Amen.
I don't know of any government that, off the top of my head, that is really walking according to the Word of God. Some are influenced to an extent, and I believe our government still is to an extent. But Satan exerts great influence. And you go back to Daniel chapter 10, just one example, and you see the what I call angelic air power. Mm-hmm. In Daniel 10:13, it says, this is the angel that has come to minister to Daniel. I believe it's Gabriel. And he's explaining why it took him 21 days to respond to Daniel's prayer. And that's got some implications. Amen? And he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Think of that. That's talking about warfare on a spiritual level. And Michael, who's the archangel, is referred to as one of the chief princes. And we don't know how many archangels there are. He's the only one called an archangel. But it says one of the chief princes. So we don't know if that means there are more than one archangel or that the archangel is one of a class of upper level angels. We don't know all the answers to these questions, and don't go running to the Book of Enoch or all those places to find out. We'll find out when we're in their presence. But in this instance, it's showing you that Satan has his own army. And he has an upper level, prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, that means that Persia at the time was under the influence of this airborne, spiritual, fallen angel, the prince, as he's called. And that's why he was called the prince of the power of the air. Because the air and the realm outside of our bodies in the atmosphere, there is angelic activity going on all the time. Now, here's where you better be careful. Because some people have noticed that and they started writing books and putting out DVDs and things, pretending to know what's going on. And that's where you better be careful. Because that not only is not what we've been given to know in this dispensation. We'll see it in the millennium. Talk about that more on Wednesday nights. But at this time, what we know is the Bible tells us it's a reality. And so we have to understand that and respect it, which means don't try to dive into that. Don't try to get into that spiritual realm, and especially don't try to communicate. Once you start trying to communicate with what you call angels, the New Age thing, spirit guides, people will convince you can go to Sister So-and-so. They call themselves that. They go to churches, folks. But they'll tell you can go to Sister So-and-so and she'll get you in contact with Elvis. You know, or grandma or aunt or whoever, someone you lost and you love. Don't do it. It's not been given for us to communicate in that realm, and when we do, it's necromancy and it's condemned by God. And right now, it is Satan's territory. However, it's also a fact, Satan is not in control of all human governance. There are people today who totally have checked out, and this is the reason they don't vote, this is the reason they don't know what's going on in the world. The Amish are an example, an extreme example of that. And the Bible does not say that Satan is in control of all government, and there are Christians in government. And I have no doubt the guy we watched the video earlier is one of them. So there is a reason for you to continue to stay politically aware and active. And the Amish are wrong. I love Amish cheese. I like to go visit the Amish. They make a fudge out of cheese, and it's real rich, but it is good. You ever had that? Yeah. I'm not anti-Amish, but they're wrong. They should be engaged in the world they're in. We're in the world, but not of it. And we stay engaged. James says, him doth do right, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if Amish were biblical, I'd be Amish. But it's not. And Satan is not in control of all. See, that's what they believe. They believe that all human government, Jehovah's Witnesses are another one, they don't vote or anything because they believe all human government is of Satan. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Daniel 4:32, this is God condemning Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, he's telling him, you're in trouble. Nebuchadnezzar comes out and says, look at this wonderful kingdom that I have built with my own power. Sounds like most of the politicians running for president. Yeah. I will do this and I will do that. Imagine what it would be like. They got up and said, I will pray and ask the Lord to revive America.
Amen.
But Nebuchadnezzar was a typical Democrat or Republican. And so God responds and says, seven times shall pass over thee, 7 years, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Amen. And giveth it to whomsoever he will. So you say, well, what about Obama? Obama is what America deserved. Both his election and re-election, America deserved Obama. But what do? We still speak out against his wickedness. That shouldn't be that hard. But there's very few that I come in contact with who seem to get that. God is in control. America got what they deserved. Keep preaching the truth. How simple is that? That's the reality. Did you get that? The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. On the one hand, it is foolish to underestimate the power of Satan. And some people talk about, I'd punch him in the face. And then you've seen these people say, I rebuke you, Satan. You've seen that? Several problems with that. Number one, Satan can only be at one place. This morning, there's probably 10,000 charismatic churches where they're all rebuking Satan. My guess, he's not at any of them. But if he is, he's only at one. All the rest of them are blowing hot air. And number two, we've never been told to do that. And speaking of Michael, you read in Jude where he confronted Satan and he said, the Lord rebuked thee. You better know that Bible before you start trying to fight the devil. Because you start going by TV preachers and charismatic books and your own opinions, you'll be as pagan and superstitious as they are. We only know how to fight Satan because of the Bible telling us. And what we know is, he is very powerful. He's not someone you want to face. You let the Lord deal with him. But on the other hand, it is also wrong to ascribe power and authority to him that belongs to God. For example, when you got 10,000 charismatics rebuking the devil all over the world, they're attributing omnipresence to him. That's blasphemy. And then people try to make him an equal to Jesus. He's not his equal. Jesus created him. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Genesis 3. He existed before Adam and Eve, but he was created by Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God. And it says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus. He's the Creator. Satan is created. They're not equal. But that's what people do. And in our text, the prince of the power of the air is also described as the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And again, you want to sound crazy, just talk Bible. Because people say, hey, crazy. He thinks all these people who are, pushing gay marriage and putting men in women's restrooms and pro-abortion, he thinks they're under the power of Satan. And they mock you and make fun of you and say, could it be Satan? Like the church lady. That's what they do. I hear it all the time. And they'll make fun of you. It's a hard biblical fact that the majority of Christians cannot accept. The Christ-rejecting sinner is a child of the devil. That sounds mean, doesn't it? It's true, whether it sounds mean or not. It's like, I don't believe you. That's what people say. I don't believe. Well, let's look. Regarding Cain. It says in 1 John 3:12, not as Cain who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Oh, but that's okay to say Cain is a child of the devil because it's Cain, right? Yeah. Well, Jesus says this. He's talking to a big group of people who are unbelievers in Israel. And Jesus says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. That's the first half of the verse. We'd never say that about any of our loved ones who are not saved, would we? These were the blood brothers of Jesus Christ he's talking to. Relatives. Amen. Amen. Paul, speaking to a sorcerer in Acts 13:10, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. You open your eyes to that book, it'll teach you something. Amen?
Amen.
There's only one way to become a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil.
Okay.
Just reality. John 1:12. God gives the power. But as many, read that with me. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Without the power of God, you cannot become the sons of God. And if you're not the sons of God, then you are the sons of Satan. just a reality. When you hear the gospel presented, you're choosing to either remain as one of the children of disobedience, that's what you're choosing, or you choose to become a child of God. But if you choose not to become a child of God, you don't have to do anything else. You're already a child of the devil. Unless you're one of those who are too young or the mentally handicapped, you know, those who have not reached of a spiritual and mental maturity where they have a self-awareness of their need. Outside of that, if you're not saved, you are a child of the devil.
Right.
Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to come to church and hear?
Amen.
It's the truth. That's why it's wonderful. It's not the most positive message you'll ever hear, but it's true. And what we have to stop doing is trying to butter people up and think that you're going to get people saved by not telling them the truth. Just, I put up a thing on my social media and stating that Obama, I might be able to show it to you. See if I can get it open.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook jail. But I put this thing up, and I took it down after 2 days because I just can't stand to look at the guy's face, to be honest with you. I just get tired of seeing him. He's on the news everywhere, and he's just so wicked that it's just hard to stomach. But see if I can get there. Should be right here. There it is. This man is a traitor and a liar. No single human being has done more to divide America and fill our nation with foreign enemies of our freedoms than this piece of human trash. Obama is a son of Satan. I stand by that comment.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. What's funny is, the reality is, I could put the name of any lost person right there. Any lost person is a son of Satan. Now this up here belongs to him. But that's what made everybody mad. That I said Obama is the son of Satan. That just tells me they don't know the Bible.
Amen.
They don't know what they don't know, they don't face reality. If you're lost, you're a son of Satan.
Right.
You're a child of the devil. And until you're saved, you remain a child of the devil. And what we need is some honesty in the United States of America. Because everybody's walking around thinking they're a child of God. And when you talk to the lost people, they'll argue with you. We're all God's children. That's what they say. We're not all God's children. That's why we must be born again. And so what do? We inform people of the fact. Don't step back and say, well, I don't want to make you mad. No, take advantage of the opportunity to make them mad. Because that's how you're going to make God happy.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to make God happy by making lost people mad when they don't want to hear the truth. And you make them mad, but then what happens? If they at some point get saved, they'll look you up to thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They will look you up to thank you. And so we ask ourselves a question right now. What's more important to us? Is it more important for us to be liked by the children of Satan? Or is it more important for us to be liked by God? And by the way, the children of the devil aren't the only ones who are going to get mad at you. Most Christians are going to despise you too. In reference, the reason I brought that up is a professing Christian who is saying, we need to be careful how we talk and how we condemn and all this. Oh.
People are not eggshells. I'm sorry.
We've already tried this, okay? This, be careful. Don't ever say anything to a kid. That's what's got us where we are. Yeah, we... Right, that's what started the conversation. And listen, it's going to get worse. And the main reason it's going to get worse is because Christians want to be liked. I'm convinced of that. That's the bottom line problem in this world right now. Bible-believing Christians want to be liked. And until you get past that backslidden, unbiblical attitude, you're never going to be serving the Lord the way He wants you to. And I just tell you that as your friend. That you've got to get past that and decide, you know what, I'm going to do everything I do with asking one question. How will God feel about this?
Amen.
How will God feel about me making this person upset by telling them that they are lost and on their way to hell and need to be saved? How's God going to feel about me giving a tract to somebody while they might be a little busy or something? How's God going to feel? That's the question. That's the question we all need to, including me. It comes to me just as sure as anybody. The first thought I seem to have whenever I'm preaching or giving out literature, tracts or whatever, it's just immediately, oh, wait a minute, maybe they're busy. And I have to remember, they're always going to be busy. Give it to them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't feel like talking. But they die in the next minute, you're going to wish you went ahead and ignored that and talked to them. That's something we all need to deal with. And you know what? It's the least you can do. God's already saved you. God's already saved me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the least we can do is risk not being liked. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank You for this study in Your Word, and it's very important to understand our enemy. It's very important to understand that Satan is powerful, but he is not omnipotent. Satan has an army of angelic, fallen angelic beings serving him, but he is not omnipresent. Satan is probably more intelligent than any human being, but yet he is way short of being omniscient. And we're so thankful for You. The omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God who is all places at all times, who knows all things, who is eternal, and whose power is limitless, who came as a man to die on a cross, shedding Your divine blood to pay for our sins, being buried but risen again, conquering sin and death. Just so wonderful. We just can't thank You enough, can't praise You enough. And Lord, I just pray for everyone listening to this message to lay aside the desire to be pleasing to men and to live with one desire, and that is to be pleasing to God Almighty. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
No more sickness nor pain, no more heartache. see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
That last line.
What a day.
God's people say amen.
When I go, don't cry for me. In my Father's arms I'll be. The wounds that were left on my soul will all be healed and I'll be whole. With the light of Jesus' grace. And I will not be ashamed, for my Savior knows my name. And no matter where you bury me, I'll be home and I'll be.
King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.